WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This Sunday, Ted Turner's TNT cable network launches an 8-hour documentary called MGM, When the Lion Roars. It's a look at the history of one of Hollywood's major movie studios, a studio whose entire inventory of films just happens to be owned by Turner. TV critic David Bianculli has this review.
This could have gone either way. It doesn't bother me that the company that owns the rights to the MGM films is making a documentary about it. In fact, when the TNT network was launched a few years ago, its first original production was a documentary about the making of Gone with the Wind, and it was brilliant. Besides, the TNT-MGM connection means the makers of MGM, When the Lion Roars, would have unlimited access to clips from any MGM movie, access that no other documentary producers could afford to buy. So with the right approach, this massive project could be a film lover's dream. Unfortunately, it's more like a nightmare. The director and co-writer of When the Lion Roars is Frank Martin, and the producer is Joni Levin. Their joint credits are overwhelmingly unimpressive and include such insightful documentaries as The Making of RoboCop and The Making of 52 Pickup. Instead of being made by film historians, When the Lion Roars is a product by glorified marketers and publicists. This explains why the whole project is maddeningly corporate. It looks at everything from the top down, and gives more credit to the studio heads than the filmmakers, and judges movies not by their content, but by their shooting ratios, profit margins, and box office receipts. When actor Jackie Cooper discusses Woody Van Dyke, a director so cost-conscious he was given the nickname One Take, this program considers that nickname not an insult, but a virtue.
No matter what the film was, or what part of the world they were going to make it in, or what the budget was, Woody was going to bring it in on or under budget. He knew that's how you stay alive at MGM, and that's how you get very popular with Mr. Mayor. It better be pretty good, too, but more important, it better be on budget.
Not only is the focus of this historical overview all wrong, but it's totally out of context. Actors like Buster Keaton and W.C. Fields seemingly come from nowhere, make a few films at MGM, then vanish. There's no sense of the overall history of Hollywood, only of MGM's share of the pie. And it wasn't always the lion's share. Worst of all, though, is this documentary's packaging. The host is Patrick Stewart of Star Trek The Next Generation, whose wonderful way with dialogue saves his speeches from seeming even more silly than they are. However, even Stewart is done in by the fancy sets and mood music, and by a loud approach that makes it seem like he's talking from a bad long-distance phone connection on some Hollywood holodeck. In this case, from the back of a backlot steam train.
At least once a week, Irving, Margaret Booth, Sam Marks, a handful of executives, and occasionally L.B. Mayer himself, would board the MGM Special, the studio's plush private trolley car, and they would head for one of the smaller communities on the outskirts of Los Angeles. There they would hold sneak previews of upcoming pictures. The theater audience would be asked to fill out response cards and, according to their suggestion, scenes from the picture would be re-edited or even reshot.
And how can you forgive a show that gets excited about the concept of audience testing? Yet that's just what this show does from start to finish. In fact, when it gets to the 60s, with David Lean making Dr. Zhivago and Stanley Kubrick making 2001 A Space Odyssey, there's grudging acknowledgement of the singular visions of those directors, but a lot of complaining that the front office had been cut out of the filmmaking process. MGM When the Lion Roars looks like it came straight from the front office and should never have left there. Film fans will want to watch it anyway to catch some rare backstage footage and interviews, and just to catch all the movie clips. But don't accept any of this as objective or even good film history. It's promotion, pure and simple. Well, maybe not so pure, but definitely simple.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Post.